The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
With Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott, I'm Aaron Dickens. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. You can also access this through the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. We'll have coverage of the Texas Rangers coming up tonight on Lubbock Sports Station as they open up a weekend series against the Seattle Mariners. First pitch 7:05 there in Arlington. And then on 100.7 The Score, we'll have the Houston Astros as they begin a series against the Oakland A's. The lowly A's, but those same A's swept the Astros the last time these two teams squared up. So we'll see what happens there in Houston tonight. First pitch, 7:10. Coverage starts at 6:40 on 100.7 The Score. Gus, how you going?
I'm good. You talking baseball reminds me last night, the Field of Dreams game.
Right.
That was it was a fun game. Good, another good broadcast. Fun. You weren't here with us yesterday, but
I was sweating my you know what's off.
Yeah, I know.
In the cafeteria of one of our local middle schools for 45 minutes, going over an interesting PowerPoint slide, and then was walking the halls of said middle school for another hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's it. That done it, obviously did it, and it's just the tiniest bit nostalgic, I'll never do that again, but I don't miss it. Sure. It's kind of one of those things, but yeah, I feel you. But yeah, like yesterday, the Field of Dreams, a pregame thing came on at 5. Mm-hmm. Especially we had it muted, like we've got the TV running over there, and it started with a little A-Rod and A-Rod in the passenger seat with the announcer driving, and then Johnny Bench in the back seat, and then they pick up Poppy on the side of the road, and he's hitchhiking, kind of all playing the little characters in the movie, and they were in period dress, so we had a nice some nice suspenders going and some of that stuff, but it was a fun broadcast. I tell you, the shocker of it all, Votto being mic'd up was cool because Joey Votto is just like overflowing with personality. He's out there and he's like, hey, can I tell you guys a story? Like, hey, here, dude, you're the one mic'd up. And he starts
kind of a captive audience.
Oh, yeah. And they're all like, yeah. And he starts talking about facing John Schmoltz, and who's on the broadcast.
Whose father passed away.
Well, that's
away
where
yesterday.
I was going. And he goes through the whole deal. And then in the eighth inning, they put that graphic up there. And I'm like, wait, that says 2022. I was thinking, well, maybe it was a year ago today or something. Like, wait, what just happened? And he starts talking about that news came in that morning. And of course, he had been the consummate pro. I think he's really one of the really good, national baseball analysts out there right now anyway. But, hey, it was, and he held it together very well. And, he said, it really hadn't hit me. He said, I'm going to get home and be home with family, and then it'll hit me. But he said, my dad would have wanted me to,
Right. He would have been mad up if I hadn't done
like
this broadcast. Yeah,
keep showing up and keep doing the deal. And, it was just, I was like, holy cow. I mean, it was really just a, fun little 4-2 ball game, cool little stuff's coming in and out of breaks and all that kind of stuff. And they're like, oh my gosh. That was definitely something different, no doubt, something you'll remember.
I wish that they did like a period day, across the league,
across the league.
It's not like, the Astros didn't get started until the 60s and the Marlins, etc., but you could still kind of make something work there. Mm-hmm. Either honoring another team earlier in that region or kind of tricking one up and kind of
that's
imagining
cool.
one.
Yeah, sure.
Because that's one thing that's every sport is unique in different ways, but one thing that that Major League Baseball has that the NFL and certainly the NBA will never have, and the NHL too, is just the width and depth of its history.
Sure.
It goes into the 1800s, and not just like a little toe dip into the water in the 1800s.
It was a full blown league.
Yeah.
No, that's interesting. And a lot of times, because what we get is everybody's got a little throwback day, and what you might have is a city like Houston and a city like Miami playing in their Houston Buffs jerseys, their old, when they were like a AAA, AA you know, then they could easily do that sort of thing. But what you're suggesting is no, you know, on Sunday, June 3rd,
yeah,
it's National Throwback Day, like they have Players Weekend where they all get to design shoes, sure, and do, well, that kind of stuff. That'd be fun.
They've got the city uniforms or whatever they're called. Yeah. And those kind of, like, you know, a bit of a nod to the local culture or customs or, mm-hmm. you know, I think the Astros is Space City or whatever it is.
That's cool.
Is our TV on the fritz here?
This one back here is one behind us.
Was this happening yesterday too?
I don't remember. I don't recall.
It wasn't happening to us earlier, but I noticed, but I didn't really turn around.
Okay. Got some logo blank going on. Yeah.
Because I'm inclined to just turn it off if it's just going to keep blinking at me.
Yeah. Or you and I just not look at each other.
It was like, it's, you know, not on, in our periphery. On flashlights, if you click it too many times, it gets to that strobe light effect. Yeah. Maybe that's what you click the TV wrong.
Right. Well, I just, you know, in case any of our friends at home that are watching are, you know, prone to seizures, I don't want anybody just, you know, having a bad day because of our see, it just did it again.
Yeah, it did. There it is.
Well, now you hurt its feelings.
Yep. It's a little bashful. It's a bashful TV.
This on the Yates Flooring Center, Chatlin. How old is grass hockey ... soccer? Yeah, that's a good point. Not here in the United States, but certainly across the pond.
I wonder what the throwback of that would be, though. Like, I wonder how much of the unis changed, and you know what I mean? 1905 soccer. What did it look like uniform wise? Like, did they wear pants?
Like, you know what's funny too, though? Like, Arsenal, which is, you know, one of the upper higher profile EPL franchises, it was founded in 1886, which is a long time ago, but it's also not like ancient. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
When were the Boston Red Sox founded?
Oh man. Most of those had origins back in the late 1800s. The American League started in what, 1903, I think.
Love your thoughts on, yeah, somebody says that Choice did it. And PJ.
I believe that.
The television. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Derek says, happy Friday, go Astros.
Yep.
Somebody else says, where's Choice? He's been on all day. Has he really?
He wasn't on the end of the bench, but he did morning drive. Then he sat in with me the last 3 hours. So he's been on a bunch.
Because Jamie's out today. That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Sneed.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Everyone else, laptop, Gus, red binder, go, Gus, go.
Solid, hey, you know, I've got the laptop, but yeah.
You don't bust it out very often.
No, I try to. I sit in front of it all day, so
true.
That's part of the deal there.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. What do y'all think the Rangers need to be great again? Also, do you think that Alex Rodriguez should be in the Rangers Hall of Fame?
A better record.
More, certainly more pitching.
Good one.
Yeah.
Thanks. Almost like you spew out your energy drink.
Yeah. Certainly more pitching, and hopefully that pitching has been drafted, right? Lighter.
Right.
Rocker. You know those two way heavy in their plans. You know, those kind of high-end young starters, that's a great place to start because a bullpen can be built a little bit easier. A healthy, prolific third baseman and Josh Young wouldn't hurt. Young dude, you know. Bubba Thompson coming on. It'd be good.
More tech talk next.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hi there, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens with you until 6:30 today. Time for some headlines. Texas Rangers will be in action tonight. They're beginning a weekend series against the Seattle Mariners in Arlington. First pitch from Globe Life Field, 7:05 p.m. Central Time. Rangers are fresh off of a series defeat to the Houston Astros, where the Astros clinched the Silver Boot for, I believe, the sixth consecutive season.
You know, one thing that's tough about that rivalry, and I'll say that, I've always said it's going to be better when both of them are good at the same time. Because when the merger first happened, the Astros were dismal.
Oh, awful.
And the Rangers were kind of winning that division all, and then they flipped. And it just, you know, what that rivalry needs to get to Cards, Cubs, you know, Red Sox, Yankees, whatever, is a brawl and a pennant chase, that kind of stuff.
I was actually thinking that same thing, not in terms of your thought, but what would it take for both sides to be like really interested in it?
Some hate,
you know, yeah,
need some venom.
And yeah. I think that, I almost think that you're at a point now where as soon as if the Rangers can reel off a couple of wins in this series in terms of like winning the Silver Boot next year or, you know, the next 2 years or whatever, I think that's almost enough. Because we've gone through a period where the Rangers owned it, as you said, because
at the
Astros
beginning.
Were just awful.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Astros have rattled off six straight or whatever it is. And so, you know, at the beginning, the Astros could say, well, listen, we care more about the Cubs, right, and the Cardinals than we do you, because we're National League guys. Just moved over here for BS reasons. Yeah. We don't really care.
Historic rivalry.
Plus, we're terrible. We're tanking on purpose, et cetera. Whatever. And, you know, now the Rangers can say, well, listen, we're rebuilding, you know, yada, yada, yada. Or where was all this care about the Silver Boot when we were kicking your rear end up and down I-45, right? But now you've had these situations where both have kind of held on to it for a while. And, you know, when you're winning those, you care about it, right? You're crowing about it. You're puffy-chested, whatever. And so now neither fan base can really say, oh, no, we don't really care about that. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And so, you know, when the Astros do inevitably lose a season series to the Rangers, I think the Rangers fans will be fired up about it because you're breaking that streak. And then Astros folks will be miffed about losing it.
Yeah, and I think it also represents one of the things we've talked about with college football that we sort of fear with the future of college football, but you know, USC and UCLA are going to be playing games against Purdue and Iowa, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly a water cooler at the office talk. You know, Astros and Rangers fans working, you know, just friendly rivalry banter, that type of stuff that's going to happen in this state that wouldn't happen, you know, between an Angels fan and a Marlins fan or whatever. I mean, I think the elements are there. We need them to butt heads one time.
It's kind of like the opposite of what we're seeing in college realignment, right?
Yeah.
Where the Houston team was moved from a division with Chicago and St. Louis and Cincinnati into a division with, you know, a team from the Metroplex. Whereas now it's like, as you said, two LA teams going to go play in the Big Ten and geography matters zero. And this, it makes so much sense.
I mean, one of the things I'm you know, that we embraced and hated about Texas and A&M for sure, and A&M and Texas hate about each other, is like your buddy Steve in the next cubicle, you know.
No.
That...
See, you weren't on top of it, man. You can't just like, you can't hold us hostage while you fumble and search for the button. See, that's dirty pool right there.
But I mean, that sort of ire, you know, it's, you know, the guy in the cubicle next to you that gets under your skin because he's, you know, this arrogant fill in the blank fan that's been beating up on your team forever. You know, that's I think we're just a tick away from that. You know, that's an interesting thing too about U of H, because yeah, they're getting popping back into a league with Baylor an hour and a half up the road or whatever it is, and yeah, that's probably helps them a little bit.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, maybe the Rangers need to trade owners. Maybe some guys that can hit, no errors. Alan says this in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. A Big 12 angle on the Field of Dreams game, as Gus certainly knows, was a TCU player starting on the mound for Cincinnati. How about that?
Yep, he shoved against the Red Raiders, too, back in the day. Came here and shut us down on a Friday night.
Somebody says this in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. According to Google, the oldest sport in the world is polo. That's probably the oldest surviving sport, right? Because there are probably some sports from antiquity that...
I would think, yeah, like wrestling and running... And probably
it's
rowing.
True. Running is probably the oldest.
Well, but
sport.
Those are, I wouldn't even call those sports. I mean, they are sports, of course, but it's taking equipment and taking the organization like, hey, you and me, you want to go? You
know,
and
right.
And they're
out. Or you're racing some bear.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, running for, that's a different kind of race. But I think, that was the caveman. That was the Neanderthal games there, right? I think, one of the early aspects of amateurism in sports was the idea that, you know, had to do with rowing, AD, and the you had to be an amateur to be able to compete in the rowing competitions. And why was that? Well, you know, because the rich guy at the rowing club or whatever, if they let all the longshoremen, the dudes who row every day for a living and get their, you know, whatever, quarter a day and go back to their immigrant huddle over there and trying to make ends meet, if they let them compete with all the rich guys in the rowing club, they're gonna get dragged.
Yeah.
And so the idea of amateurism was to say, no, you can't be in this competition with us if you're a professional, even though professional meant if you have a job doing this. And so it was a way to keep the amateurism thing kind of snooty. That was because the rowing deal, there's a lot of people that did that for an occupation back in those days, for
right.
sure.
Interesting.
I rowed out there and threw out my shrimp nets or my fishing pole or whatever and fished and tried to earn a living and feed my family, right?
This and the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Freeze tag would be the oldest sport. This and the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Would you consider human chess a sport?
What was the Squid Game thing? That stop and go thing? What was that called?
Did you watch that? No, it was pretty good.
But we talked about it at the basketball game. I didn't understand what they were doing at the Tech Hoops games.
Red light, green light.
Yeah, red light, green light. Yeah, there you go.
Probably that can't be that old of a game because, you know, there weren't red or green lights in like the 1700s.
That's true. And we learned about it. It's in Cleveland, right? We even looked up the intersection. Hey, the generation gap is real.
This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Does anyone know if Clarence Nadolny is coming back this year? I don't think that he is.
I don't believe so.
I don't know that we've had like an official kind of like press release or anything.
Yeah, and we don't really know where he's going. Yeah, that he's not coming back, or nor where he's going, of course. I haven't seen one report that or heard any gossip or anything that involves him being here, though.
Somebody says, you would think that throwing something would be the oldest game.
Well, probably.
Someone else says this, and this is so like out there that I hope it's true. They say, I do remember watching a documentary about dodgeball. Apparently it was started in a Chinese opium den.
Oh my gosh. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Yeah. Goodness.
Where's Clint? We got golden.
He went to an opium den as well.
I think so too. There must be one downstairs. Or
I have not yet been downstairs.
You know what? I walked down there yesterday.
Really? Just for fun?
Yeah, I walked down there and looked around, and there's lots of blinking electronics, and then I don't think I ever left the bottom stairs.
So it's like the nerve hub
It's the brain of this place. You missed it, Clint. Well, rewind the last 2 minutes. A lot of important stuff was said. Sarcasm.
Oh, now he's fumbling for a button to press. Yeah, okay, there you go. This is the Yates Flooring Center.
We need it if you could dodge a wrench, you could dodge a ball, but that's all right.
Neanderthals throwing fire at each other was a good time. Reminds me of Clint.
Those were some good times. You know, drawing like, on the caves with our hands, stick figures.
It's Pictionary. Yeah, I mean, it was the oldest game.
Like Clint with that red hair could be the logo.
Or like charades, you know? All right, movie, you know.
Big ball of light in sky. Chase me 12 hours. Which I don't know why you'd be able to know hours, but whatever.
We'll
see the moon last night. Mm-mm. Speaking of moons?
No.
It was legit. It was like the last of big blah, blah, blah moon of the year.
It was like round,
big, and huge. And they actually had a couple shots of it during the Field of Dreams game. You know, it looked like it was just sitting right above the house on the Field of Dreams.
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hi there, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6:30. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. You can also access that through the TT973 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. The folks at The Athletic today, Gus, posted a survey, and I guess they're going to share the results and maybe interpret it a little bit later.
In the data collection phase now.
But it's a survey about college football TV broadcasts, and you brought this up. I think this would be really interesting to talk about. And it's not like a super long survey.
Basic, yeah.
It's about, I don't know, 10 to 15 questions. And it starts out as simple.
Yep.
As, you know, what's your favorite network to watch national games on? And the answers are, and they're aligned by, like, media group. Mm-hmm. So, like, Fox and FS1 are on the same entry. CBS is by itself. And then also ESPN, ABC.
Yeah, and I answered on that one, CBS.
I think I would say that, too. And maybe it's because it's a bit more special, right? Because they only have the one game on Saturdays.
It's like an eight. You hardly ever you may never see them broadcast the game where it's not the A-team, you know, mm-hmm. which is, for me, it's been Vern Lundquist for sure. So long. My thought was, oh, yeah, Vern Lundquist. I don't know. I think he retired a couple years ago, you know. But, yeah, that was my thought.
Yeah, I would definitely say CBS. And maybe, you know, because what you don't get with with CBS that you do get with ESPN and Fox is, it seems to me, and maybe others disagree, it seems like there's so much effort spent into trying to promote other things, mm-hmm. too, in the broadcast to kind of keep you engaged on that channel or that family mm-hmm. of networks. Like, you know, we'll throw it to this, you know, halftime show that plugs all these other games, or we'll show something from College Game Day, or we'll, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Whereas with CBS, it's more, to me, a more kind of pristine watching experience. It's like, hey, you're here for this game. You might get like a Masters commercial at some point or something, or, you know, whatever. But it's not, you don't feel inundated with kind of network ads.
Maybe a little NFL thing for the next day or something. But yeah, I'm with you.
Another question, what is your favorite network to watch college football on outside of ESPN or Fox? Now, granted, we just said CBS, so I would assume that our answer here would be the same.
But, yeah, more choices here.
Yeah. And then it asks, hey, your favorite national broadcast pairing. And so are you going with Nestler and Danielson from CBS?
That's what I did. And I'm not sure how strongly I feel about that. Options, of course, Chris Fowler and Herb Street, which we could probably say that's the lead.
Sure, on ESPN ABC.
Yep. Sean McDonough and Todd Blackledge, also ESPN ABC. Joe Tessitore, Greg McElroy, ESPN ABC. Fox's team of Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt. And that might have been right there for me. Tim Brando and Spencer Tillman on Fox, and then Brad Nessler and Danielson on CBS.
So Brando and Tillman, my least favorite. I would put them at the bottom.
Okay.
Very, very bottom. I actually have, and I don't know, my answer would probably change week to week or day to day, depending on my mood, but like Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt for me, along with Joe Tessitore and Greg McElroy, I think are my favorite pairings.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like Gus Johnson, for most people, just him by himself, like you either love him or you're like, oh, he's a cartoon in the booth.
Yeah.
And there's not a huge in between. I've never, and maybe I'm wrong, but I've never heard someone say, yeah, Gus Johnson's okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I
feel like he's kind of toned it down a little bit from his kind of prime peak in
peak
terms
Gus.
Of like college basketball, NCAA tournament. And then really, more than him, my reason for kind of elevating that crew so high is Joel Klatt.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that he generally does a pretty good job in games as a color analyst. I don't know that I agree with all of his kind of, you know, general college football takes, especially like on Twitter or whatever. But in terms of like in-game color broadcasting, I'm a big fan. Let's see, another question. Do you prefer ESPN's College Game Day or Fox's Big Noon Kickoff?
Yeah, I went with Game Day.
it's not even fair, I don't think.
I don't either. The game day has all of the history, if that's the word. But, yeah, it's the, what, well, 25, 30, what is that? That went back into the 90s.
Sure. No, yeah. I think it's 30.
Yeah, early 90s. Yeah.
And the reason why I don't think it's fair is that you the main attraction of game day is not Corso or Herb Street or, you know, any of those guys, Desmond Howard. It's the crowd. Yeah. Right, it's the color,
the signs.
Yes, it's
and
it's
maybe the, Corso goofing around with the mascot hat. Yeah,
I mean
that's overdone.
Yeah, well, and I think that he's
yeah, that's
far from his peak, and you know, very unfortunate. But
yep,
like the setting is the star here,
mm-hmm.
and so I mean, you could have, you know, you could reincarnate Bear Bryant and you know who anybody, and put him in that sterile studio in Los Angeles, and it just won't be the same.
The other one would be, along with that, is who's that guest picker? You know,
sure.
Here ours in 2008 was Coach Knight, but you know who they're going to roll out. Sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's not.
Here's an interesting question, and it kind of goes along to what we were just talking about briefly. Who should replace Lee Corso on College Game Day when the time comes for a new host? And the options are Pat McAfee, Paul Feinbaum, Nick Saban, Rick Neuheisel, Tim Tebow, Marcus Spears, no replacement or other.
I had McAfee. And I really had McAfee just because he's, you know, the Corso role has been the, and it's not fair to say he's the goofy one, you know, because I'm really just talking about the mascot deal at the very end. And that's sort of what he's known for. But he's a former coach. I mean, he was a coach at Indiana with mm-hmm. Coach Knight, and so it's not just a clown show up there from him. Now, he's publicly has not acknowledged some dementia or whatever it is, Alzheimer's, one or the other, that started to set in over the last couple of years, and he hasn't been left alone ever. And I don't mean left alone. I mean on the broadcast. Herb Street's always there with him. If he's struggling to remember a name, they'll help him out. They'll coax him along. But I assume, you know, every year that Corso shows up, I'm pleasantly surprised is a nice way to put it, because his days are, I mean, they truly are. Now, I don't mean his life on this earth. I guess we're all, sure. all of our days are over. But his ability to do that show probably ain't going to last much longer.
I would vote McAfee as well, right? I think he has a very good balance of, you know, humor and irreverence, and also, you know, analysis. But I do think that they should retire the headgear thing. I think that should end with Corso.
That's a good point. That's a great point.
Because at that point, it would just seem like
it's just tricked up.
That was his thing.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yep. That's a great point.
I would also Pat McAfee top of my list, but on that list I would also like Marcus Spears. I generally enjoy him.
Okay,
I would be fine with that. I do not want Feinbaum. I don't think he fits that.
Yeah, I don't either.
I wouldn't want Tebow because I don't think that he would be. I'm not right, wrong, or indifferent. I think Tebow's very buttoned up. All right, I think he's very aware of, you know, his portrayal,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think that he is going to bend there, which is fine. Sure. I'm not criticizing, but I think in that role, you want someone to let loose a little bit, and I don't think that Tebow's that guy.
And he's a studio guy for SEC Network.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think he does some color as well.
Yeah.
And
Nick Saban's got a job, but it is kind of fun to throw him on this list.
If he would let loose,
yeah,
you know. I think that he would be great, but I don't know how willing he would be to do that.
Yeah, he's not as buttoned up as say Belichick, but they're in the same strain. And he'll you know, he stays much more measured in the context of a game week about the upcoming opponent. It's nothing but respect. You know, he's not him and his guys are running their mouths sort of in the same way Belichick and the Patriots don't run their mouths.
You know who I think would be good in that role? Again, not doing headgear, and I don't think he would have any interest in doing it because he's already got a really plum gig and it doesn't really need the money, I'm guessing, is Peyton Manning.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
You know?
He's self-deprecating.
Yeah. You know, he's got a sense of humor.
He's getting pulled in a lot of directions.
Clearly knows what he's talking about. We'll continue this conversation next on Double T 97.3.
Podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hello there, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We'd love to hear from you today. Let us know what you think on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. We're continuing our conversation about this college football TV survey from The Athletic, where they are just kind of asking folks their general thoughts on the college TV options. And I thought it was, you know, pretty good conversation here. So they also ask in the survey whether Urban Meyer's return to the Big Noon Kickoff makes you any more or less likely to watch. And I don't think it has any effect on me.
No change for me, which was one of the options. More likely, less likely, no change. Yeah,
I will say that it did seem like when he was on there before, he was not nearly as, buttoned up, to go back to that phrase, in terms of, I mean, he was fairly critical at times of Ohio State, right? And I would have thought that he would have kind of bent over backwards to not be critical of the Buckeyes or even his predecessor, Ryan Day, but he... You know, he offered some opinion there.
Sure, yeah. Yep.
Also, it asks, when the Big Ten moves away from ESPN in 2023, do you expect to watch more or less Big Ten football?
Yeah, that was a no change for me. I can't believe that, you know, it's just a no change. I mean, to me, it's about the quality of the game, not the network. But I... I had no change on that one.
I think it makes me less likely to watch Big Ten football. And not that it's some kind of conscious, if they're not on ESPN, forget them. You know, right. It's not some kind of like anti-Big Ten stance. It's just that, you know, my Saturday routine has been more or less the same, barring, you know, bonus kid soccer game or whatever.
Sure.
For almost my entire adult life. And it's... wake up, throw on some English Premier League soccer at, 7 o'clock or whatever, and then when that's over, swap it to game day,
right,
and then leave it there until, you know, the 11 a.m. games come on. And, you know, it's not that unusual for at least one of the TVs to just stay on ESPN once that happens. Even if it's like, you know, Michigan Northwestern or Purdue and Indiana. And so just having to flip the channel.
It's funny you say that because the I forget who the writer was. It was this week, though. Probably in the context of the – in fact, I'm sure it was in the context of the Big Ten media rights news supposedly going to be dropped early next week. But the idea that – and somebody wrote it this way to the effect of when you walk into a – how many sports bars do you walk into and the TVs are just on ESPN? Just on. And you might like...
And not like blinking randomly.
Yeah. I went into a place last night, not a sports bar, but just a little fast food kind of place that would that had a couple TVs on the wall. I was thinking, hey, you know, because come out of here, the Field of Dreams game was kicking. You know, it was about to roll and that all the TVs were on ESPN, which was one of these little league games, which was fine. But it made me think about what I read earlier this week. I'm like, yeah, you know, a lot of places like that, just safe bet, ESPN. You know, there's going to be something on that can be played muted, right?
Yeah.
And you know, that could just be muted and just play. You know, it could be an old, could be a basketball game, from, you know, where it just, there's going to be, it could be Ocho, right? Could be Flaming Rock throwing or whatever we were watching.
I saw marble racing when I checked into my hotel last week.
Yeah, perfect.
On the Ocho.
Yeah, I think that there's merit to that. I don't know how much of a bump ESPN gets from that, but it's got to be, you know, one TV in this corner, ESPN 2. You know, like, that's probably a safe way to go.
Here's the money question, I think. Do you believe that more media partners getting into college football games is good for college football? Yes, no, or no opinion?
I can't remember how I answered that, but I said yes. Streaming options, all that. Although it's been interesting over the last few days, you know, a lot of data's coming out about the one streaming thing that's grown lately is Disney. Not the package, but Disney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the one that's growing and adding subs like crazy. HBO Max is flat. You know, Netflix was very predictable, whatever the number was. I've actually got it in this notebook, but, you know.
Because at some point you were going to run out of old things to rewatch, mm-hmm. or old things to watch that you hadn't watched before. You know, like how many folks in 2022 were watching Sopranos for the first time? You know, I'm guessing not many.
Yeah.
Or Friends, or, you know, ER.
The Office.
The Office, exactly. And so it's about original content. And Disney has that in spades across a number of, like, successful established franchises. And Netflix just doesn't. It's kind of more hit and miss. And it seems like lately it's been more miss outside of things like the Squid Games. I think that more media partners getting into college football games would be good. I don't know that we've seen that yet. Because CBS is basically just changing out the SEC for the Big Ten, right? ESPN is not, by any definition, a new media partner, even if they're putting more stuff on ESPN3 or whatever. NBC has been doing a little bit of college football already, and we'll see how much more they do, but I don't know that I'm going to consider one extra game every weekend.
I was supposed to say it may go from one game to
you
two.
Know, significantly, yeah. You know, they're not more of a media partner. Now, if Amazon gets involved in the PAC or, you know, hopefully mm-hmm. the Big 12 or something, yeah, I think that could be good, especially if it's a kind of a frontline partnership and not just kind of a tacked on at the end, hey, we'll throw some, you know, some non-conference games and right. like one lower tier game every conference weekend. But I don't know that we've seen the results yet, so it's kind of hard to say, you know, definitively.
There was two questions on here that I thought of you. I thought of you. The first one was how many hours of college football coverage you typically watch on Saturdays, and was yours 8 to 12?
It really depends on how you define it.
I know, but
because
it's on all day.
Yes, is it actively yeah. sitting captive audience? Right. It probably way less than that. Almost assuredly, way less than that. But if it's on all day, it, I mean, it's pretty much on. Unless I'm running some kind of errand or there's some kind of, like, you know, bonus
yeah, and we're not
activity.
Talking about the tech game.
Sure,
yeah.
It's on all the time, and that, even when I'm in the press box, and I don't think I'll be doing that this year, but when mm-hmm. I am in the press box, I'll have a game either on one of the monitors they provide or on my laptop. So, I mean, it's always there.
The other one was the historical play-by-play announcer.
Oh, let me scroll down.
Mix-a-lots.
If you could have any college football play-by-play announcer in history call your team's game, who would it be? Keith Jackson, Brent Musburger,
you can stop
Vern...
right there. Keith Jackson. Go ahead.
Vern Lundquist, Chris Fowler, Gus Johnson, Lindsey Nelson... Tom Hammond, Sean McDonough, and Chris
Schenkel.
Schenkel.
Yeah.
That must have been before my time.
Yeah, Chris Schenkel would have been 60s. Like, you'd hear Chris Schenkel on games like, you know, maybe that famous 1971. And I'm not saying he did this game, but it would be like one of those games, 71 Nebraska OU.
Okay.
Chris Schenkel actually was very prominent on bowling. On the PBA coverage for years, like I think he was their dude, you know, that got assigned to him and really embraced it and all. But yeah, my pick was Keith Jackson, and it really wasn't close for me. You know, Lindsey Nelson forever was the voice of the Cotton Bowl. I mean, you know, it just seemed like he was there for a long time. Always wearing that plaid jacket. yeah, that one was. Kind of easy for me, and maybe Lundquist would have been second on that list, and he, of course, a lot of folks around here, he's got strong Texas ties, but for me, he's really most prominent in this SEC role over the last, what, 15, 20 years?
Right.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Ask Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. With Clint Scott and Jeff McGuire, I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6:30. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T973.com. We get this pro tip on the chat line, and I love the pro tip. If you have one, even if it's off topic, I want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
They say Osium, which is sold at AutoZone and Walmart, actually bonds to smells and gets rid of them. Febreze just masks the smell.
It's like I you talk about random
things. So it's like a smell terminator.
Yes. Like things that are randomly satisfying that have no reason being this is anytime you see a commercial where it shows the difference and it's like, oh, this spray one and it's got the green gas that's supposed to be the odor and they just start swirling and dancing. And then you have the one that eats it and disintegrates. It's like, ah, oh, yeah, I needed to see that. I don't know why, but I did. Take that odor.
This
carpet cleaning videos on YouTube are oddly satisfying.
Oh, yeah. Or anytime they clean a, like a garage floor and they do the wipe. And it's or very like in line.
Window cleaning.
Oh, yeah, dude.
With the little like swirl.
Yes.
Oh, man.
And if they're at a kid's hospital wearing a Spider-Man outfit, that dude gets props.
I've also recently found myself, and you know, as with any kind of platform where there's an algorithm, the more you watch something, the more you're given that content. And so now if I pull up YouTube, a lot of it is, you know, somebody eating 50-year-old MREs or, you know, creamed corn from 1930. And that stuff is very interesting.
Mine is actually close to that because some of that's mixed in with it. It's people that are like, can I survive in negative 20 weather making my own shelter? Stuff camping like that. And sometimes they have MREs.
So along that one, Camping with Steve is fun because he does like...
Who?
Camping with Steve is his channel. He does urban camping. Like... but not necessarily at a campsite.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he'll camp in a roundabout, in like, in the center.
Oh, and, like, camouflage
stealth
himself?
Campo. Stealth camping.
Interesting.
I
think so I've seen that before.
I need the hotkeys now. This is killing me.
What hotkey are you wanting?
The one that says Steve on it.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Let's see. This is from Blake. He says, my school taught financial math and the cons of using credit. It was a great class until I decided to kill my credit about a year out of high school. Ooh, boy.
Ooh. It's no bueno.
This in the chat line. The cool thing about bad credit and debt is just not paying it and doing it again 7 years later. Yes, I plan on running for Congress. Oh, good. You got my vote. This in the chat line, what would happen to this town if McGuire took this team and won a Big 12 championship in his first year?
No, buildings would be left standing. No structures would be safe. Lime Scooters. I mean, you don't stand a chance. I'm just giving you a heads up. Owner of Lime Scooters. They will not be in Lubbock because they will be burnt.
They just built a really nice memorial right here by the office for the tornado victims. We'd have to build another memorial.
Mm-hmm. I think we would generally take care of Lubbock. We'd be fine, but we would set Twitter on fire. Like, I think generally we would be very insufferable.
I think that's fair, and in a good way. And you're using insufferable as a compliment.
I think. Because I'm putting myself in that group, right?
Right.
I would be sitting here for 3 hours every day being insufferable right with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you're the target of, you know, some of our insufferableness, you might not feel that's a compliment. But
I'm not going to say that every bed for a month wouldn't be We Are the Champions from Queen or Down with the Raiders or, you know, 100 different songs that would get every Red Raider fan pumped up. But they're in the system ready to go if that happens.
I also think, and this is a, speaking of a no duh comment, the expectations for year 2 and 3 would be almost jump to championship or bust or college football playoff or bust. If you won the conference in year 1, especially with how much the recruiting has rolled since he's been there. And it's been, okay, you know, you're not going to
just be awful in year one, but you're looking to win those recruits when they get here and you've worked with them and you've built them up a little bit more, almost a year two, year three process. If you win it and if you want it in year one, the year two, year three expectations would be insane.
Two quick thoughts. One, the head official, the umpire here at this Utah-Nevada Little League World Series game for the Mountain Region Championship has some really interesting facial hair for an umpire.
I need him to zoom back in on him.
Two, did y'all have both seen Borat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall the scene where he checks into his hotel and he actually gets to his room and he's like, oh, I have a chair. Look at me, king of the castle, king of the castle. That's how I think Tech fans would be. Like, look at us, huh? Oh, there we go. Go get me this. It's a great movie. This in the H Flooring Center chat line. AD, I would like you if Tech started winning big. So does that mean that you don't like me when they don't? Which is fine. But no, I would be I would be terrible. This in the chat line. Lime Scooter Bonfire. I was surprised at how many Lime Scooters there were in LA. They had scooters, they had bikes, you know.
I'm not saying that they don't make sense in Lubbock, but they make more sense in a place like that where you just have legitimate standstill traffic every single place you go. And it may actually make more sense. Like I think of like a New York or something like that, where it may make more sense to use alternative means to get from A to B.
Somebody says that they like watching the armed fishermen on YouTube.
Ooh, I'm going to add that to the list.
If you like just off the wall stuff, there's a Simon Whistler does one for a true crime podcast, and he looks at crimes that have happened, big or small. And then there's another one that he does that it's like his joke on that one is everything is aliens until we tell you it's not aliens. So it's every conspiracy theory and twist and turn.
I kind of like those. My wife has the, like, I think has listened to every single sort of crime, murder podcast like three times over. Just every single, and like same with shows, but every single time I listen or watch with her, they're always like super specific. Like he was 6'4" and from Kansas. And that's when she snapped. He had a Viking-based nickname. And that's when he knew his... Sade was.
I can't imagine where she would think that someone like that would snap.
Grayson says that the Lime Scooter Bonfire will be called Tech Stock 23. I like that.
That's pretty good.
Someone says Russian slap fights are great on YouTube.
Those are great because sometimes you get like vastly different weight classed people, and the small guys just always. I mean, no chance. Have you seen what the fighting? I guess, I don't know, new style that I've seen recently has been they like tape each other's hands. Like it's in an wrestling thing, yeah. They're just throwing punches like crazy. Like trying to duck behind the little table. Oh, man. Incredible.
I like, I think it's Guga Foods, and he does a lot of like steak stuff, but he'll like, hey, let's sous vide a steak that's covered in Kraft mac and cheese powder. And then cook it and see what it looks like and how it tastes. And actually, it turned out pretty good.
Sounds fun. Like experimental food
videos. Or this, I dry-aged steaks in maple syrup for a half year and ate them. I'm all into that. This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Someone says, I like watching First Amendment auditors because freedom and stuff. I am not familiar. This in the chat line. Okay, I need y'all's unanimous call. Thinking about putting a big bet on Tech winning more than 5.5. Do I pull that trigger? I'm going to use those winnings for my March Madness trip to Vegas.
How big of a bet are you saying?
I would pass.
I'm laying off the gas on that. Just when you go big bet. Am I going to be surprised if you win more than 5 games? No, but I'm not putting the house down on it.
If you weren't playing 2 ranked teams in non-conference,
sure.
Right? And if your conference schedule didn't seem so front-loaded, now... You know, we might get in the season, and those teams might be terrible.
Right.
But we can only go off of what we think we know right now. To me, that's the most delicate time for this team, as your O-line begins to kind of gel and get used to playing with each other. And again, you'll have a starting quarterback who's not had just like 2 seasons under their belt, but a new system. Yeah, I would be hesitant to drop a bunch of money on that.
I'm a 5-7 guy. That's where I'm sitting. And I won't be upset if it's 5-7. It and still very optimistic about the future.
We'll have Rangers baseball for you coming up in about an hour here on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3. Astros at 6:40 on 100.7. The score. We've got a very important question from Shelley that we'll get to next on Double T 97.3.
You've been listening to the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3. Check out Double T 97.3.com for more from Lubbock Sports Station.